Amen. What a blessing it is to be here this morning. I want to bring a topic to you today that is near and dear to my heart. I trust that it's near and dear to your heart as well, because it speaks of deliverance. And I think not by consequence at all. We looked at the weather. We still need to take our Christmas picture, the one that we had set out way back in August, to say, man, we're taking our Christmas picture early this year. And now here we are a month away, and a little over a month away, and we still haven't got our Christmas card picture taken yet. Having said that, I told Denise, I said, look on the weather and see, what it's going to be like the next few days. She said, it's raining the next few days, and that's what the weather forecaster goes. But my God is bigger than the weather forecaster and the weatherman. I'm looking at blue skies and sunlight today. And so by no mistake, I'm sure on God's part, today's title of today's message is this. I want to bring this thought to you: from darkness to light, from darkness to light. So with that said, this morning I ask you to grab your Bibles, open up to the book of John. We're going to be in John in chapter 1. John chapter 1. When you get there, if you're willing and able to do so today, I'm going to ask you to stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. John in chapter 1 is where we're going to be. And then we're going to look at the first 9 verses, have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll settle in for a little bit this morning as we hear what thus saith the Lord. John chapter 1, if you're there this morning, the Bible says in verse 1, in beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again, dear Lord, for the blessing of this day, the opportunity to be here. Father, we thank you, dear God, that you have done so much for us, that you are the God of all, that you are the Almighty God, and we thank you that you'll be with us here, dear Lord, in every step of the way. Father, we thank you for that precious light that will send into this world to light all men, to bring that revelation of a true Savior, dear God, the Savior of all mankind, who will believe, has come into this world, has died on a cross, was buried in a grave, and yet risen again, and sat at the right hand of the throne of God today. Father, I pray that truth, Lord, would be known. It would be seen in our lives, that we would show forth that truth in other people's lives, dear God, on a daily basis, Father. We thank you for the precious witness. We thank you for the wonderful grace. Dear God, I pray today that we have gratitude. Let us not get to the point to where something is missing in order to be grateful of it, Father, but let us show thanksgiving, dear Lord, every step of the way. In Jesus' name we ask these things this morning. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, and please be seated. I appreciate your willingness to stand week after week, sermon after sermon. What a blessing that is. But I want to bring this truth to you this morning about the true light, which lighteth every man. Beloved, in the Scriptures, it's commonly known that the Lord has revealed Himself to every man, every nation, every kindred, every tongue at some point in the existence of mankind. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20 says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Beloved, the invisible things of God are clearly seen, even in this world yet today. Beloved, we've known from the first day of creation, as we begin to read the Word of God, as we begin to study out what the Lord did on those 6 days of creation, resting yet on the seventh day to establish the timeline for mankind. We know from that first day of creation and that God said, let there be light, and He separated the light from the darkness. We find that in Genesis chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. I won't ask you to turn there. I was going to, but for time's sake, the Bible says, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven and to give the light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. Now this light was created. This light that was created by God Himself was created, called sunlight. But my friend, the invisible things of God's creation are clearly seen today by His creation, whether they realize it or not. They're revealed unto Him. You take this gorgeous sunlight that we're enjoying right now. I'm surprised everybody's not trying to sit, you know, where it's coming through the windows today. But the sunlight itself has three rays, three types of rays. It's a united trinity, if you will. It has. I taught this when we taught the creation lesson some 3 years ago. But that it has heat rays. Heat rays can be felt, but they cannot be seen. That's a picture today of the Holy Spirit of God. They have light rays, which can be seen, but not felt. That's the type of the Son of God. And they have asthenetic rays, which are neither felt nor seen. And that's a picture of God the Father. You see, my friend, in creation, Adam's image was to have a body like God the Son, a soul like God the Father, and a spirit like God the Holy Spirit. Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 23. He said, "To the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus." Love, sunlight we have in the world today. Sunlight is a vital piece of mankind's existence and being. Sunlight provides vitamin D, which is essential to the existence of human life. We need vitamin D. We need it in our life. We need it to help the body to absorb calcium and to absorb phosphate from our diet, which are important for healthy bones. It's important for healthy teeth, and it's important for healthy muscles. A lack of vitamin D is known as a vitamin D deficiency, or it's also known as hypovitaminosis D. It can cause bones to become soft and weak, which can lead to bone deformities. In children, for an example, a lack of vitamin D can lead to rickets. In adults, it can lead to a diagnosis of what's called osteomalacia, which causes bone pain and tenderness. Some of the consequences of having a deficiency of D is being sick often or infected often, fatigue or tiredness, bone or back pain, depression, impaired wound healing, bone loss, hair loss, and muscle pain. Beloved, it's light where you receive that type of, that vitamin, if you will. It's light that you receive that so that your body can take from your diet the proper calcium and the proper phosphate so that your body in itself can begin to function in the way that God had intended it. Can I tell you here this morning that it is the light of this world, Jesus Christ, that makes the difference in a very same manner? It is the light of the Lord Jesus Christ which makes the difference in our life so that we can function in the way that we were intended. It's the light that makes up a threefold ministry, both in the planet, both for humankind. It's the light that makes up the threefold ministry in Christianity today. Beloved, can I say this, that mankind is in dire need of this light, capital L light. Turn in your Bibles just real quick over to John chapter 9. I didn't have you turn to Genesis 1, but you should be in John 1. Turn over a few chapters with me, if you will, 8 to be exact. Turn to John chapter 9 and look toward the last of the chapter. Again, I say that mankind is in dire need of this light because mankind needs to be dragged or pulled, or let's just use the proper word, delivered from darkness into light. John chapter 9, in verse 39, the Bible says, "And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into the world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind." Some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth." You see, beloved, for it was right, the light was right in front of them. It was right in front of their life. It was right in front of their eyes. It was right in front of them. Jesus Christ was standing there, and today He's right in front of the world. And just like these Pharisees, guys, they just see Him not. What the light is able to do is to reveal the present condition of mankind. But when mankind says, "I will not see, I will not look, I will not listen, I will not learn," then therefore they are blind, but unknowingly so. Back in the first chapter of John, we read in John chapter 1 and verse 5, The Bible says, "Then the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not." This light shined into the darkness of a heart, and the darkness of mankind, the darkness of sin. It shined inside of it, and the darkness said, "What is this? I don't understand." In its present condition right now today, we have 4,109,500,000 souls in this world who outright deny Jesus Christ as the only way for eternal life. They do so by other religious methodologies. 4,109,500,000 souls today deny Jesus Christ as the only way for eternal life. And that doesn't include those who are trusting in Jesus Christ plus their own works, or just trusting in their own works to get them to heaven. Beloved, they are living in a conditioned state, and they've been conditioned and controlled. They've been convinced by the media, by government, by the educated elite, by hypocritical teachers. They've been conditioned to believe this false truth, to believe this lie today, that there's another access point, and the light is shining in. The light is coming into the world, and they're just clueless to it. They're comprehending it not. Beloved, it's almost impossible for us to understand. It's nearly impossible for us to comprehend ourselves that 1/100th of the world's population today are the only one who possess a true confession of Jesus Christ, much less a testimony of what we read in John chapter 1. Turn your page over, John 1, look in verses 12 and 13. Watch this. This is the testimony that 1/100th of the world's population today hold. And this is what they have in eternity. But as many as received Him, verse 12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. What is this? What is verses 12 and 13? Friend, this is what I want you to understand. This is where many in the world today, if the majority of the world today, unfortunately I say, are residing in a darkened state, residing in darkness. And the light is shining into there. The light is shining through. And they're going, "I don't understand it." If you were to take a man and face him into the light and he closes his eyes, he says, "I don't see it." If you were to take him and to open his eyes and he turns his back on the light, he says, "I still can't see it." If you were to take the same man and have him turn around, have his eyes open, and then he covers his eyes, he says, "I still don't see it, my friend." Beloved, can I tell you this morning, that the light is there? The light of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of God that shined into this world when Jesus Christ came, that light is in this world today, whether we believe it or not, and it's trying to tell mankind, come from darkness into the light. The current state of the world today is that somebody needs to tell them who the light is. It's one thing to know that the light is there. It's another thing to know who the light is. Look in John chapter 1. Look in verse 7 with me. We read it earlier, but read it once more. It says, "The same came for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." Verse 8, "He was not the light." This is in reference to John the Baptist, the 6-month elder cousin of Jesus. "But was sent to bear witness of that," look at that, capital L, "light." Beloved, you know what the Bible concludes today? The Bible concludes without contradiction, without error, without doubt, that people in this world today, number one, people were born wrong. We were born wrong. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Guys, we were born sinners. We were not born faultless. We were not born sinless, and we went into this world and learned sin. We were born sinners. Now, granted, I know a baby and a child is under the age of accountability. They're in a state of innocence. And if by some terrible measure a young child dies early or a baby dies in the womb, whatever it may be, they automatically go to heaven. We know that because they're under that age of accountability. And there's not a numerical age. It's an age of awareness. It's a point in time when a person can decipher right and wrong. Guys, we're born sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. We have received it from Adam, who was the first transgressor on the world, far as mankind goes. So, yeah, mankind, people have been born wrong. People have lived wrong. John 3:18-20 says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Not because of the multitude of sins that he or she have committed, but simply because he have not believed on the only begotten Son of God. Verse 19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved." I mentioned this earlier, that some people are maybe afraid of church. They're afraid to come to church because they have this idea. They have this vision that if they come to church, all of a sudden that every evil deed and evil work is going to be exposed in their life. And that's not true. Guys, this is a building. As great of a building as it is, as beautiful of a building as it is, this is a building with four walls. The church is within us. We are the church, the body of the living Christ. We are the ones that make up the bride of Christ, not a building. I love the building. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying, but we live in a society today that has placed the structure as an idol and the institution as an entity before God. And here today, it is the Bible and people. And that's what makes up the bride. People's lived wrong. And that light comes in, and they hate that light because it begins to reveal and let them know that what they're doing in their life is wrong and displeasing to God. But at the end of the day, they don't perish because of all that they have done, but they perish because one thing they haven't done: believed on the only begotten. Beloved, people die wrong. John 8:24 says, "I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Can I say this to you this morning, guys? We're back in John 1. I want you to think long and hard on what I'm getting ready to say. Don't pass it up. Don't miss it. But no one has to die eternally. No one. John 3:16 is for every man, woman, and child of this world today, regardless of their sin. It doesn't matter who or what you are today. It doesn't matter who or what you have done. It doesn't matter where you are. For that matter, it doesn't matter what you're going to do tomorrow. John 3:16 is for every man, woman, and child. And we as Christians today should plead and weep and cry over the fact of one soul not receiving that truth this morning. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have," what? "Everlasting life." It's for every man. And it's for every man because it was of the life of John, because for the life of verse 4 in our text this morning and the light of verse 5. Verse 4 says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Verse 5 says, "And the light shineth into darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." We need to understand this morning that if mankind will be delivered from darkness into light, that light is going to have to shine into them. Not only do they have to see what the light is, but most importantly this morning, they got to know who the life is. They got to know who the light is in order for them to move from darkness into light. There's three things that I want us to see this morning about the light. The first thing that I want us to understand by way of a little bit of an introduction, but the first thing I want us to know is that light, the light of Jesus Christ, the light that's shown into this world, is positive. In Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul was struck down on the road to Damascus, and he faced a light, and he bowed down to that light. It struck him down as a dead man. The Bible says there, and as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? This is the same light that John the Baptist preached about, the same light that John the Beloved Apostle in John chapter 1 is writing about today. This is the same light back to creation. Remember, God created a greater light to give rule of the day. Paul said this in 1 Thessalonians 5:5, ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Jesus Christ said, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. There is a separation from light and from darkness. From day one, God said it so. And when God sent his Son, he sent him to be a positive light in this world, to bring life unto mankind. That lesser light that was to rule the night, if you look at creation and you think about it, it is when the world has turned its back on the light, it produces darkness. The Bible says in John 3 verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Mankind turns their back on the light and it produces a darkness in their trail that they will walk from. That lesser light is not to possess its own light, but a reflective light from the greater one. It was not to have its own source, but reflect the true light, the life of mankind. As we are to do in the dark and a dying world today, we are to be a reflective glory of that light that was sent into this world. Even when this world and the people and our friends and our families' back are turned against the true light, and the shadow across this land may lay, we are to reflect the glory of a living Savior, a loving God. We are to reflect the glory of the one who came and died on the cross for us. We are to reflect the glory of him. Even though they're turning their backs and we're standing in their shadow, the light of God Almighty can shine upon us and we can reflect it in the midst of darkness so that they can be turned from darkness unto life. From darkness unto light. Beloved, there's something about light in general that brings comfort and joy. Let's be honest about that. You've sat down in your living room and you flipped on a switch and you sat down, and when you flipped that switch on and that little lamp came on, maybe it's one of those mission style lamps or just a lamp with a pretty shade, it provides an ambience inside of that room, does it not? A comfort, a glow, if you will. That brings joy and comfort to your soul. The mayor of Toronto one year launched what's called the Light the Night campaign. The idea was this. The idea was for the residents to leave their lights burning overnight in order to discourage crime. Because light does something. It brings truth and life. A similar campaign was carried out in Oakland, California. And reports show that the crime was greatly reduced. In fact, when they did this same campaign in Oakland, California, the crime was reduced dramatically reduced when this campaign was put on. There's something positive about light. Guys, we understand it. We understand it living here in Wells. And there's days, I came out the other morning, I was going home early in the morning, and the clouds had rolled in off the coast, right? And man, the clouds were dark, they were gray. Now listen, guys, I'm not going to try to reveal too much about myself, but there's something I like about dark clouds. I don't know, I guess growing up in the midst of Florida, when those black clouds would roll in, but they'd always roll out quick as well. I like something about a good storm. I like lightning, I like thunder, I enjoy that, amen. I'm not going to tempt it, but I there's something about a dark storm that I can appreciate. However, we both know that when we wake up in the morning and, well, we know it's dark, but anyway, but when the sun comes up, amen, and those blue skies are glistening, and that sun is streaking across the sky, just like this morning, as it's shining in through these windows, and it's shining in, there's something that sunlight does that brings a positive thought into your heart and your mind. That's the same thing that Jesus Christ is doing to this world. He's trying to bring something positive to them. He's trying to give them life, and the Bible says life more abundantly. So first, the light is positive. It's the source of life. Light is the source of life. You take light away in human beings, you take light away, you lose life. You take the light away in the spirit world today, and you lose life. But secondly this morning, light not only is positive, but if you look back in John 1, light is power. Light is power. I know that we have the solar campaigns and we have all these things that are going on today. But there's power in that light that God is offering to this world today. Man thinks they can chase money, they can chase position and prestige and all this to get that power. But that's not where the power lies. The power lies in the light that came into this world. John chapter 1 and verse 12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." But the Bible says what it means what it says. There is power in that light. That light was with God in the beginning, and that light came to this earth, became flesh. It was positive to give life. Listen, it gives us power to become the sons of God. Not power to become the children of God, the family of God, the people of God, the nation of God. And listen, and we are as we are all of those things, but we find by the Scriptures there, plainly and purely this morning, that we've been given power to become the sons of God. And I want you to take note on that. Take note on what it means. When you change the definition of that definition given in the Greek word, technon, you rob the children of God from the power of Christ that grants us to become the sons of God. When you change that word there, you make them powerless. In flight or in boats, it's called dead stick. I tell this story quite often, many a times. I don't know if you know what a jet ski is. A jet ski is a little death trap that you get on the water. It's about the same thing as a motorcycle on the street. And you get on this jet ski and you can sit on the thing and you crank it up and you push it. And what happens is it has a pneumatic engine, a pneumatic pressure. So rather than having that necessary, that prop, it comes out of what's guiding the steering knob, if you will. So you turn like this. The unit that also powers the device also steers the device. So when you turn, you got this little prop that's encapsulated inside this housing, and it turns the whole time. So in other words, when you're at full throttle and you do this right here, it turns for you. You know what happens if you let off the throttle and you turn? Nothing happens. You keep going the direction you were going into before. I remember a buddy of mine, we were flying down the backside of some creeks off the Caloosahatchee River one time, and we were going as fast as we could, making hairpin turns, and he took a turn a little bit too quick, and he let off the throttle, and he did this, and guess where he ended up? Up in the mangroves there in the side. It was a hilarious sight. For me, it was. It was funny for me, not for him. I'm saying all that to say this, guys. When you remove the fact that that life brought power into our world, when you remove the fact that that light was brought into our life and gave us power to be the sons of God, you take the power that God has given His children today, given the child of God, the saved born again believer in Christ, you take it away from him. God's not authorizing anything in this world. He's not taking that away, beloved. Power that proceeds throughout the Word of God. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, appeared in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord and is referenced by Paul. Paul said this in Galatians 4:14, And my temptation, which was in my flesh, he despised not, nor rejected, but received me as the angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. And in Acts chapter 27, verse 23, and there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. The angel of the Lord is called Jehovah in Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, referring to himself, and in Acts chapter 7, verse 30. At the resurrection, we will be like him, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, because we will be the sons, plural, of God. All of the sons of God. Genesis 6, Job 1, Job 2, Job 38, they were angels, and we understand that. And to teach that the sons of God in Genesis 6 are the sons of Seth, listen, that's just silly, amen. The Bible says we are as the angels of God in heaven, for in the resurrection neither there is marrying nor given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But get this, according to John 1:12, we receive power to be like these angels of God, yet we are much more than the angels. In 1 Corinthians 6:3, the Bible says, "Know ye not that we shall judge angels, how much more things that pertain to this life?" Love, can I tell you, when you believe on the light, when you trust in the light, and you let that light pull you, deliver you from darkness into the light, it gives you power, guys. power to stand up and be sure and certain about who and what Jesus Christ is. Beloved, we must understand that the word power carries with it an operation. Philippians 3:21 says, "Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself." Ephesians 3:20 says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us." You say, "Preacher, you know, what are you trying to say today?" I'm trying to tell you today that light that came into this world by way of Jesus Christ has the power to deliver everyone and anyone away from darkness. No matter who and what they are, no matter what they've done, no matter what they're going to do, or what the world is going to do unto them, it is power today. And power is not found in any other thing. Not like this power. Not like the power of Christ. We live in a world today that wants to present Christianity and wants to present the church as effeminate, if you will, and as full of puffs and all this and that. And men will sit home and they'll mock their children going out to Sunday school or going to youth club, and they'll make fun of them, or they'll come to school and bullies will make fun of young kids because they come to youth club, because they come to Sunday school, and they say, "Oh, puffs do that. Oh, okay, so I guess a real man sits home and drinks. That's what he does on a Sunday." No, sir. That's what somebody does who's forsaken the rights that a dad was given when he fathered a child. I'm telling you here this morning that light that came into this world is more powerful than anything this world will ever produce. That light of the Lord Jesus Christ, that light of the gospel that will come inside of every soul that believe on his name today, should give you power to stand in this world today, to stand up and to be different, to be recognized, and bring a positive light into this life today. Lastly, not only does the light provide positive power in the world, but it's also the only source of a promotion today. It's not a secondary source. It's not a third source. It's not an option. It is the only source of an eternal promotion in this world this morning. John chapter 1 and verse 13 says, "Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man." Watch these next three words. "But of God." Those of you who have been in our biblical interpretation class on Wednesday mornings, we know that word "but" is like that word "and" and "yet" and "this" and "that." You know, they're called connectives in the Word of God. And "but" always changes the other side of the street. And the contrasting element of verse 13 says, "Which were born," it says, "not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." That promotion today. "Which were born, not of blood." It's a new birth that cannot have anything to do with our blood, but was redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There is no physicality, there is no physical thing about the new birth. It is 100% spiritual. It has nothing to do with our blood, has nothing to do with the blood of animal or water or anything like that. The atonement that Christ grants us is a positive power in the promotion to eternity today. It's given by him this morning. Beloved, it is the light that Paul was driven by. It is the light that Paul was directed and called to shine forth in this world, just as Jesus Christ commanded him, saying this, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them, which are sanctified by faith that is in me, Jesus said. Beloved, there is so much more can be said about the light this morning. It's the light that brings hope into this world. It's the light that brings hope into something greater than ourselves. Hope into someone who loves us. Hope by someone who sacrificed for us. Hope who's willing to do all that all may live. I'm going to say this in closing this morning. The Bible says, "In hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us." Beloved, there are many things in our life that we can and maybe should be ashamed of, but the hope that is in Christ is not one of them. If you love the Lord God, if the love of the Lord God is shed abroad into your heart, man, you won't be ashamed of Christ. If you have the love of Christ inside of your heart today, you won't be ashamed of him. He won't be ashamed of His light. See, His light that came into our souls is what brings us hope. And hope maketh not ashamed. Today, I wonder, how many of us tomorrow will stand out amongst the crowd, will stand out amongst the collective, and be that light shining in the midst of a shadow? How many of us today will pray diligently and fervently that we can be a light unto someone in this world, whether it's the clerk at the shop that you go to every day, whether it's a family member that you talk to, whether it's a co-worker, whether it's somebody passed on the street? I wonder today if tomorrow we will be that light that pulls and delivers a soul today from darkness to light. Beloved, this morning, that's the challenge for us all. The challenge for us today is to take the light that came into this world that is powerful, that is positive, and the only way for an eternal promotion, and bring it unto the world today. You may be sitting here this morning and you're thinking, well, preacher, I'm doing all that I can do, and maybe that's so, and that's fine. And then today's message is to bring a form of gratitude into your life. Let us be grateful and thankful this morning for what God has done for us. Let us be thankful for today, not only for the blue skies, and not only for, we don't know how long that's going to last, but I guarantee you right now, living in a country where it rains a lot of times, we're thankful for that, aren't we? We're thankful that we have blue skies and sunlight today. Do you know why we're thankful for it? We don't get very much of it. Now, you live in Southwest Florida, where I grew up, where it's sunny about, I don't know, 300 and some odd days out of the year. You get rain clouds and storms that roll in for about an hour and a half in the afternoon, and then all of a sudden the sun's back out again. You take it for granted. You take the heat and the sunlight for granted. You move to a northern country, way north, northern Canada, move to Alaska, move somewhere where it's cold all the time. Go to Greenland. Snow at negative 20 degrees on a warm day. You appreciate that sunlight a little bit more, don't you? And that's the problem with mankind today. The natural response is that we're only grateful and thankful for things once they are gone. I'll share with David this morning, and I'm just about done, guys. I know I went over my time this morning. I was ironing my shirt this morning, and I was chatting with David, and I talked to the youth on Friday night about being thankful. But in all things, be thankful. And quite often, many a times, we're only thankful, we're only grateful when we are missing something. I equated it to this. I said, when do you think about food? Well, when I'm hungry. When do you think about a jacket? Well, when I'm cold. I said, David, you come downstairs, your stomach's growling, you're hungry, and you open up the refrigerator, and there's no food there. And then all of a sudden, mom or dad brings home a Subway sandwich or something. Man, you are thankful for that sandwich, aren't you? Thankful for it. In America today, I'm receiving reports that churches are closing at a rapid pace. Closing all over the country. There are more churches today without pastors in the United States than people can ever remember. But we've already had that happen here. You see, guys, the church was always here for years upon years upon years. And people say, well, I can't make it today. I'll catch it next week. I can't make Bible study today. I'll get it next time. I'll catch it on the fly. And one day they showed up. One day they came to the gate, and the gates were locked, and the doors were shut, and the pulpits were empty. Then they tried to be grateful, but only for that which they had. So, beloved, I'm trying to extend this thought to you on the backside of going from darkness to light. Be thankful for the light today. Be thankful for the positive power, the only access of promotion, and the way that you exercise your gratitude of coming from darkness to light is to bring others into that very same light, guys. Let our gratitude shine amongst this world today. Let our thanksgiving shine. And be not ashamed for the hope that is inside of us that comes through the love of God being shed abroad in our heart. Let us exercise our gratefulness in society this morning by being a light unto those in darkness. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, I thank you, dear Lord, for the opportunity to be here. I thank you for all that you've given us and everything that you have done and for who and what you are. And I pray this morning that you please would grant us now, dear God, a clear understanding of everything that was said today. Help us, dear Father, to move into this world to see and lead people from darkness into light through the precious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us not be ashamed, dear God, but the hope that is within us. Hope maketh not ashamed, for the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Help us stand, dear Lord, and do that which is right. I love you, and I thank you for all that you've done and for who and what you are. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Do hope and pray God was good to you this morning. Trust that He has been.